Hey, this is Lori from Hike, sharing stories to inspire us to explore, wander, and live. So today's topic is the North Country National Scenic Trail. So how much do you know about the North Country Trail? I have to admit, up until I started this podcast, I didn't even know it existed. It's in my state. In fact, it runs through 8 states. And where it runs through in Michigan is just about an hour and a half or so away, so not very far to get on a National Scenic Trail. Thankfully, today's guest is giving us a good introduction to the trail and to the North Country Trail Association, where she works as the executive director. Andrea Ketchmark will give us a great overview of the resources available from the North Country Trail Association and some of the highlights of this 5,000-mile National Scenic Trail. North Country Trail Association is a firm believer of Leave No Trace and supporting Recreate Responsibly. The episode with Andrea was done pre-COVID, so as you listen in, you'll hear some things that maybe didn't happen, like someone's thru-hike of the North Country Trail that was supposed to happen starting earlier this year. But I wanted to leave that in because I wanted to share the experience of what the North Country Trail has to offer. Like many other trail associations throughout the country, the North Country Trail has had to adapt their guidance to hikers and to the volunteers this year due to COVID. Listeners can find that information on their website, so I encourage you to go out there and take a look. It's northcountrytrail.org. And of course, you'll find all the links in the show notes. Let's take a listen to my conversation with Andrea Ketchmark, Executive Director of the North Country Trail Association. So, Andrea, thank you for being with me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about you and your role and just about, you know, the NCTA.
So I'm the executive director of the North Country Trail Association, and I have been here a little over a decade now, 10 years with the association. And in my first role, I was our director of trail development. So I worked a lot closer with our chapters and our land managers and kind of had more of a trail focus. And then in 2017, I took over the role of executive director. And the association is the main nonprofit partner of the National Park Service in managing the North Country National Scenic Trail. We're a nonprofit organization. We are a chapter-based organization. So we have 28 chapters along the whole length of the trail in 8 states and about a dozen main partner organizations, but many, many other partner organizations that we work with to manage the trail. And our mission is to build, maintain, protect, and promote the North Country Trail, which means, you know, we do everything from building and maintaining, but, you know, we're the ones out there telling the story about the trail, and the ones even doing the protection work. So things like easements and even some land acquisition and really just working on, you know, the we're the on-the-ground partner that does all of the management.
So for people who aren't familiar with what the North Country Trail is, can you give an overview of, you know, you'd mentioned that it's like 8 states and there's 28 chapters that are working together. But from my understanding, you know, this is a pretty big trail.
It is. It is the longest trail in the National Trail System, which are trails that are designated by Congress. So the National Trail System Act was signed in 1968, and there are currently 11 National Scenic Trails and 19 National Historic Trails that are designated under that act. And the North Country Trail is one of those National Scenic Trails, much like, you know, people may know of our more famed brothers and sisters, the Appalachian Trail or Pacific Crest. We're in that same system. Our trail is the longest of the scenic trails, planned to be most likely about 5,000 miles, and it extends from the middle of North Dakota all the way through the upper Midwest, through 8 states over to Vermont, where we do meet up with the Long Trail and the Appalachian Trail. So really making it a you know, connected national trail system.
So you're saying that if I was on the Long Trail or on the Appalachian Trail over in Vermont, that you can start out and meet up with the North Country Trail?
You can. Currently, we have, so for the entire trail, we have about 3,200 miles currently on the ground. And then we do, because we're a long distance trail, you know, and the goal is to have it be fully connected. We do make some road connections in between. So in Vermont, we do have some trail on the ground, but we're currently in the planning phases as well. So we have identified a route in Vermont that if you want to walk it today, you definitely can. But it will change a bit over the next 5 or 6 years as we put, you know, new trail on the ground where we really want it to be.
Is there any kind of a figure or kind of estimate of how much of the NCT is on road versus established trail versus private property? You know, because it sounds like it's a mixture.
Yeah, it is. So when we're looking at trail versus on-road miles, we have about 3,200 miles of actual trail. We do map a continuous route and try to sign a continuous route. So where we do have roadwalk, you know, in between where we have all these little gaps across the trail, which is about 1,600 miles where we have it on road, many, many of those miles are still blazed. So you can still, you know, you come out of the woods with your blue blaze, you know, path, and then you will be able to follow both on our maps and usually blazed on the side of the road, you know, which direction the trail is going in. When we look at the actual trail that's built, we have a breakdown of about 1,000 miles on federal land, and that's vast majority is U.S. Forest Service. Even though we're administered by the National Park Service, they actually only manage about 45 miles of the entire trail. Yeah, we have about close to 800 miles on U.S. Forest Service land. We have a little bit on U.S. Fish and Wildlife land and a few different national wildlife refuges. But then one of our biggest partners is our different state agencies. So in our, you know, all of our states, we work with state parks and state forests. And I think we have about 1,300 miles on state land, about 200 miles on different county lands. And then, you know, 400 to 500 on private land. So we work with a lot of private landowners to make agreements to be able to cross private land where we need to. So that's kind of the current breakdown of land ownership. And, you know, it's going to change moving forward. Definitely, we have, I wouldn't say we've exhausted all of our public land opportunities, you know, but that's what we've been working on for 40 years. We've been putting the trail on as much public land as we can. Obviously, that's where we have, you know, the biggest shared vision for what the trail should be on those different parts of national and state forest. So moving forward and closing our gaps, we have a lot more private land to contend with, which means a lot more working with private landowners and making deals for easements. So it's, you know, that breakdown is going to change as we grow.
So on the trail itself, is it multi-use? Are there sections that are, you know, open to equestrian, open to mountain bikes, or is it truly just a, you know, walking path?
Yeah. And the vision for the North Country Trail, as set out by the National Park Service, and it's actually what they call the nature and purposes of the North Country Trail, is to be a hiking and backpacking trail from end to end. So the primary use and the primary user is on foot. And we really try to make sure that hiking and backpacking experience is our goal and is the big vision. That said, you know, it does depend on where you are and the different uses on that specific piece of public land or private land. And we have places that, you know, in Ohio, we share the Buckeye Trail for the vast majority of our route. And there are long sections of towpath and multi-use path. You know, we go right through the heart of Dayton, Ohio. It's our biggest trail town. And up here in Michigan, we go through Battle Creek on the Battle Creek Linear Pathway, which is a paved multi-use path. And then we do have a few sections on Michigan State Forest that are open to mountain bikes. But other than that, the vast majority of the trail is beautiful hiking and backpacking route.
Okay, because I was going to ask you, because this summer, early fall, I was able to get up into the UP and just did a little, very short section of of the North Country Trail. And it's so, I mean, there's so many remote sections up there. I was, you know, and there's a lot of snowmobile type of paths, and even, you know, you were seeing four wheelers and things like that. So I wondered how that impacted the ability to keep the North Country Trail, you know, a hiking path and backpacking.
Yeah. So by law, under the National Trail System Act, National Scenic Trails need to be non-motorized. So that is definitely our top priority. There are places where we have chosen that the only route or the best route shares snowmobile trail in the winter, for example. Some of those places, it just all depends. Some of those places we've decided it is a temporary route until we can find a better route that's not shared with snowmobiles in the winter, and other places it really just is the, you know, the best location. And even some places where we have the trail on road, we have right here in Lowell, Michigan, for example, we have a quarter mile section on a dirt road that's actually quite a pretty walk, and kind of everybody agrees that, you know, it's not priority to get off that road, because it doesn't matter, you know, you could be in somebody's backyard if you get off the road, and the road is just as nice.
You had mentioned just a moment ago too about trail towns, and how I think you were saying Dayton, you know, being the biggest in your section, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how you're trying to establish some of that community around the trail. What are some things that you're promoting or encouraging from the cities and towns?
Yeah, our trail town program, we have about 20 official trail towns, but we have tons of other communities along the trail that may not, you know, have that official designation, but are great gateway communities that are near the trail that, you know, our volunteers and our staff are connecting with on a regular basis. And we really want to make sure that we are, number one, you know, being able to provide hikers with services in those communities, making sure the communities understand the benefit that the trail brings to their citizens, but also big picture, making sure they understand what the trail brings through tourism, you know, that people are targeting for vacation or even for living. You know, they want livable communities. They want to be able to walk on trails and be able to get to public lands and explore their public lands through trails. So we do everything from work with our communities on basic promotion through different tourism bureaus. We do festivals and events with our trail towns. We work on planning together to make sure that we're looking at the public spaces within these communities and, you know, where are we placing the trail that can be beneficial to the other public spaces that the community, you know, wants to develop. So really making sure that we're planning together. And we have some communities that are trail towns that the North Country Trail might be the only trail in that community. So it's, you know, important to them. But just as important are those communities that bring together a bunch of different types of recreation. And so those are, you know, interesting and really robust relationships where we have kind of the bigger, you know, when you have a big rail trail and a national scenic trail and a river trail and all of this, you know, outdoor recreation coming together and it's one of the biggest industries in the country to make sure that we're supporting outdoor recreation.
You know, in most cases, when I think of a national scenic trail, there's a lot of, emphasis around through hiking it. I guess what is the case with the North Country Trail?
Yeah, we do. We have kind of an external committee led by Joan Young, which was the first woman to through hike, the first woman to complete the North Country Trail, and she did it over a series of years. She really keeps track of our hikers, which is great. We have about 20 people that have either through hiked or completed the trail from end to end in its entire history. So when you look at how greatly that differs from, you know, a community like the AT that has a few thousand that are doing it every year, we have much more of a focus on long distance hikes, but not the entire trail, or people, you know, striving to complete the trail over a period of time. We try to keep track as best we can of who's, especially the longer distance hikers, you know, if they're trying to do multiple states in 1 year. But we only know about people if they let us know. So I think social media has helped us, you know, understand a little bit more about how many people are out there, but there's still just not a great accurate count. But, you know, I think because of our length, we've never really focused much on the long distance hiker. And I you know, hope we have, or the thru hiker rather, I hope we have always have thru hikers. We have at least one higher profile thru hiker, Acuna, which you may know is going to be out on the trail this year.
So is he trying to do the entire length of the trail? Or
he is.
And is it, as far as you know, is it kind of from end to end, or just like maybe switching it up? Because it seems like it's such a varied kind of from a seasonal perspective to be able to do it all. You know, have you heard what the plan is?
Yeah, he is going to start, I believe, in North Dakota in March, and does plan to end in Vermont in the fall. So if he, you know, depending on spring weather, it can be a wet or cold spring anywhere along the North Country Trail.
Yeah.
And the same with the fall. So we have had a few people that have done that flip flop where they start, you know, down in southern Ohio and make their way up to one of the more northern termini, and then, you know, come back to the other end and go back down. But Acuna's gonna try to do it end to end in 1 year.
Well, that'll be interesting to follow him and see what he's doing. So I'll make sure that I'm checking that out. And for the listeners, I'll also put a link to his profile in my notes so that you can make sure you're following along. So Andrea, also, when we look at, you know, you said that many people are probably doing just sections and, you know, maybe backpacking certain, you know, aspects of it. I know there's a program that you guys have put out there to encourage people to do longer miles on the NCT. I believe it's if you do 100 miles, and I may be, there may be more than that, but what's the program that gives out a patch to participants who do so many miles in a calendar year?
Yeah, that is our Hike 100 program. And we started this back in 2016 for the National Park Service's centennial. So they were celebrating their 100th birthday and looked at, you know, the National Park Service looked at all of their parks and trails across the country and said, how are you guys going to celebrate 100 years? And we thought about it for a while and, you know, had all these great ideas for big events or for, you know, doing 100 miles in a weekend or something like that. And finally, you know, decided on how can we engage the most people for the most benefit, you know, and the most people of all different ages and all different abilities. And it was hike 100 miles at your own pace, in your own time, you know, tracking on your own, all on the honor system. And when you're done, you know, all within one calendar year, but when you're done, we give you a patch and a certificate. And I can say we were, you know, totally blown away in that first year by, number one, the response. We had 5,000 people sign up for it within a couple months, you know, and we had people registering at the beginning so we could kind of communicate with them, you know, and encourage them throughout the year. But then at the end, when they submitted their miles and in order to get the patch, the stories that they were sharing with us were so incredible, you know, just stories of personal transformation. And again, everything from the, you know, we knew we would have experienced hikers do it. And we had some people go out and, you know, I did my 100 miles in 2 days. And, you know, that is great. But we had people sharing stories about having never hiked before, you know, and hiking their first mile in March. And then by the end of the summer, they were doing their first backpacking trip. And stories of people dealing with personal injury or the death of a loved one and, you know, heartache and PTSD and just all of these stories about how trails transform us. And so we got done with that first year and just went, wow, we're going to do this again. So we've been doing that every year. And 2020 is our fifth year, and again going strong. And we announced the program, you know, in December, and again had people in January. I think was our first finisher, but we know we'll have people engaged throughout the whole year with it.
So, for people who want to participate, do you have to register first?
You don't. You can just do everything on your own. And on our website, we do have some tools that you can use, like, you know, a simple tracking form that you can put up on your fridge to make sure you're tracking your miles. You know, of course, everybody has their own preference for different apps that they use to be able to track your miles. But you can do it absolutely all on your own. And then at the end, you know, submit your miles. They don't have to be in any specific form. We have a form on our website. We ask you, you know, if you do want to share a story and a photo, you can, but you don't have to with that either. And that's how you get your patch and your certificate. We do also now offer a pet tag for dogs and cats, because we've actually had somebody do it with a cat.
But it sounds like there's also some benefits to registering. You said that you send out some reminders, or you know, kind of encouragement and you know, along the way.
We do. And this year, we're actually doing monthly challenges and giveaways. And then we will have, for all of the people that have completed the challenge at the end of the year, we do a drawing at the end of the year for kind of a bigger prize as well. So not only, you know, throughout the year, you can really get more connected with events. You know, we try to point people to our chapters that are leading hikes on a regular basis. So, you know, some people really like to do their own thing, but a whole lot of people really want to get involved in a community, and they want to go on the group hikes that are being led, you know, throughout the year by our chapter. So there's kind of, you know, something for everybody.
So, yeah. So whether you're a solo hiker or you're, you know, wanting to be part of the community, you can do either.
Absolutely.
So, and it also sounds like the NCT is pet friendly, because you mentioned the ability to also get the tag for your pet. So is that the entire length of the NCT, or just certain sections that are, you know, pet friendly?
Yeah, the vast majority is. Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore in Michigan is not. And I think that's our only, pet prohibitive area. The vast majority, pets are allowed. We just really ask and promote that you follow the state or local land management rules, which here in Michigan, for example, is, you know, dogs on a leash at all times.
Yeah. And of course, adhering to leave no trace. So making sure you're taking care of your pet, you know, and anything that may happen on the trail.
Yep, absolutely.
So you mentioned Pictured Rocks, and which leads me, you know, to, that's probably one of the most famous areas that's also along the NCT. Are there certain areas or sections that, you know, for someone who is wanting to have that, you know, beautiful experience, you know, whatever it may be, that you know, recommend for, you know, someone who just wants to, you know, they can't do, you know, a month on the trail, they maybe have a weekend or something, and you want to get them to experience part of it. What are some places you'd recommend?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there are, it definitely depends on the state. And I usually point people to the lesser known spots, because as beautiful as Pictured Rocks is, it also gets quite a bit of impact. And that's what we see with kind of some of our, you know, more high profile places, like Old Man's Cave in Ohio is gorgeous, but has a couple million visitors a year, which, it leaves it, you know, a little bit challenged sometimes. So here in Michigan, for example, I point people to the Western UP, just gorgeous, gorgeous scenery. The Trap Hills area or Canyon Falls area is beautiful. Anywhere in Wisconsin, the Shawamigan National Forest, that's some of my favorite trail, in Copper Falls State Park. In Minnesota, you know, the Boundary Waters, which has just been added to the North Country Trail, the Kekakabik section of trail that was just added in the recent legislation, is incredibly remote and incredibly gorgeous. Little bit harder to navigate sometimes, so we definitely, that, you know, that's not a section for newbies. North Dakota, The Cheyenne National Grasslands is so underrated, and I think all of North Dakota is underrated. I don't think sometimes that the pictures really do a state like North Dakota justice. And then when you set foot out there and you can see for miles, and the Cheyenne National Grasslands especially is such a unique, you know, a unique spot that is hilly, which we don't normally think of North Dakota as being, and has, you know, this native grassland is just very beautiful.
So do you have a personal favorite?
Yeah, my personal favorite is just right here in Lowell, right outside of our headquarters. Down the road, we have a beautiful section of trail about 7 miles that goes through state game lands and city land and then a county park. And not only is it gorgeous and it's kind of, you know, rolling hills up along the river, but I love the trail for its accessibility. And the fact that I, you know, can, a lot of people think that our staff hike for a living, and we don't. You know, we sit at a desk and, yeah, and answer email and, you know, look at finances and all of that fun stuff. So to be able to have a long day at work and be able to access the trail by walking out the door and being on a National Scenic Trail, you know, instead of needing to travel, I think that's really, really the beauty of the North Country Trail. We go through so many communities and so many different environments, and it's, you know, not a matter of needing to go far. So that is why I love that section the most, just because I think it's brought me the most peace of mind over the years. You know, again, stressful day at work, get out on the trail. So I have a special connection to that spot.
And I think maybe not all the listeners know that your office, doesn't it sit right on the trail?
It does. It's right in downtown Lowell, which has, as a trail town, we actually have the trail kind of routed right along the, you know, the paved river walk. So it comes out of the woods and then goes along the river walk and kind of goes just along the sidewalk for a couple blocks until we get back into the state game land.
So for people that may be visiting Lowell, I mean, what are some things, if they come stop by, what can they expect to find at your office?
Yeah, well, you will be welcomed by Allison, our administrative assistant up front. We offer, you know, any sorts of maps and interpretive products, but also a little retail shop so you can buy a hat and a t-shirt. And really just, you know, Allison is a wealth of knowledge about the trail, especially if you want to hike here locally. But she'll, you know, walk you through our online map system and show you how to download maps and just kind of, you know, have a great conversation about why, you know, one of the things I love her relaying to the rest of us is people will come in, you know, and they had traveled from New York and want to tell us about, you know, their experience and their love of the trail. So she spends a lot of her time just getting to talk to people about the trail and why they love it. And then usually we, especially if people have traveled to join us at the office and to check it out, we go outside with them and take a picture, you know, in front of the office. So they have a little memento of their visit.
Oh, that's nice. And obviously, also, you were talking about maps and different things that are online. So are there a lot of resources on your website that someone looking to hike a section can go find?
There are. So we switched a couple of years ago, I think 2 years ago now, to 100% free online and downloadable maps. You can either download them online, you know, and print them out on home. You can also use them using the Avenza app. So on our website, if you go to northcountrytrail.org, in the trail section, you'll find maps and trail data. And that will lead you to not only those maps that you can download or use with Avenza, but we do have one nice, really big interactive map. So you can, you know, scroll around the map, check out the trail kind of as a whole, scroll in, look at it closer. And if you click on the line of the map, you can see some more detail about that specific location. So you can see if that's on Forest Service land. And for most of those locations, like, we'll link straight to the land manager. So you can, you know, learn more about their specific regulations, if they have any. We usually have in that data also what type of trail. So if it's a natural surface and hiking only, or if it's multi-use, you know, paved path. So we have the maps. You can also download our data directly for people that want to, you know, just use their own GPS. And then we also have a section called trail alerts and report trail conditions. So the trail alerts are kind of the bigger things that if you are going on, especially an extended hike, you know, you check out our trail alerts page to see if we have any big reroutes that, you know, may not be reflected on our map currently. And then the report trail conditions page is, you know, for exactly that, for our hikers to be able to alert us when they see things like trees down or, you know, flooding in a certain area or problems that they want us to then add to the trail alerts page to alert other hikers about.
So when you're dealing with, you know, alerting, like, for instance, that there's a lot of blowdowns in an area. So then are you working with, you said there's, you know, close to 30 different chapters, basically, that are helping maintaining the trail. So then does the call go out to the specific chapter of, hey, can, you know, is there a crew that can go help? Or, you know, how does that happen?
Yeah, just like that. So if somebody alerts us of a problem, you know, depending on the problem, if it is one tree down across the trail, you know, in a specific location, for that, we would reach out to the chapter. And we do have, you know, certified sawyers in all of our chapters. So we would alert them so they could get somebody out there to take care of it. If we know of a big blowdown, you know, if there is a huge storm, if there is a fire, if there is massive flooding, that's when we also get with the chapters, but that's when we get with our land managers and our staff, our trail management staff, and our volunteers to really devise a plan for how to bring in the resources to, you know, to get the trail back up to a good standard. So sometimes that includes bringing, you know, certified sawyers in from other chapters. It includes having our land manager, you know, bring in a professional crew sometimes to do cleanup. So it all kind of depends.
And how do people get involved in volunteering, whether it's for your office or for, you know, any, you know, publications that you're doing, or just, you know, from a maintenance perspective, what are some ways that people can get involved to support your efforts?
Yeah, there are a couple different ways. And one is just we have a great new volunteer form on our website that you can go there and fill that out. And it asks you, you know, a few questions about the type of experience you're looking for, like if you want to do trail maintenance or if you, you know, want to help us out with advocacy. So you fill that out and Allison is the one that filters those. And if it is, you know, if you're a volunteer that wants to do trail work, we put you directly in touch with the chapter. So that form would go to the chapter so they can get in touch with you. If you want to do advocacy, it would come to me. So we kind of filter those. We also have the contact information for all of our chapters up on our website, as well as a calendar. So you can look and see, you know, if you know, obviously, the area that you live in and want to check out the local chapters events that are happening this weekend, you can just get in touch with them directly and join them for a hike or a work day. All of our chapters kind of organize their events a little bit differently. You know, some have very standard, we do trail work every Saturday. You know, others are organized into bigger work parties or things like that. But we do try to filter all of the activity through our online calendar. So everybody, you know, can, if you're a newbie and you're interested, you can kind of look at that calendar and try to find something that you're looking for.
So does the NCTA put on anything official or any kind of a big summer program or any kind of a series of things that might be happening upcoming?
Yeah, each chapter does their own series of events. We do, the entire organization has one annual event called our annual celebration. And that's a little bit of a mix of conference and, you know, training, volunteer wards, but hiking. It is in exploring new sections of trail. Each year we cycle the celebration around to a new state. Ah. So in 2019, we were in Michigan. Next year, We're actually this year in 2020, we will be in Clarion, Pennsylvania. The year after that, we'll be in Minnesota. So we have it in a new location each year to really be able to explore a new section of the trail. And as I said, it's kind of a get together of a lot of our, you know, stalwart volunteers. So our chapter leadership is there, and people that have, you know, been connected with us for decades, but also lots of new people that are just trying to, you know, figure out who we are and want to come join us for a hike or two. It is usually a, Thursday through Sunday, format. So, you know, people arrive on Wednesday, start hiking on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then go home. So that's our big event.
And so everyone can kind of join in some fellowship and hiking and getting out on the trail that everyone is working hard to support.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, I appreciate you taking time out today to, you know, give me a better understanding of what you're doing to help support the trail, a little more info about getting out to hike on the trail. Is there anything that you would, you know, want to tell listeners to maybe do or to, you know, to find out more information, or how can they follow you and what some of the chapters are doing?
Yeah, so you can always check out everything about the organization at our website, northcountrytrail.org, but follow us on Facebook as well. A lot of our chapters have their own Facebook pages, so if you want to, you know, really get active on the ground and see what they're doing, you can follow individual pages, but really kind of, you know, if you're new to the organization, I would start with following our main Facebook page as well as Instagram, and you'll get a good sense of the work that we're doing. You know, it's so important to remember that trails just don't happen. It is the volunteers that make it a reality for all of the hikers and trail runners and trail users, you know, that love the trail. So just really encourage everyone to make that connection, you know, to go beyond taking a hike. Taking a hike is the first step, and I want people to, you know, participate in Hike 100 this year. So sign up for Hike 100, but also consider volunteering, and then of course donating. You know, supporting the work. As much as we depend on our volunteers to build and maintain the trail, all of this stuff that comes with that, you know, does not come at no cost. So the protection of the trail long-term and making sure we have staff to do the work that we need to do to manage a 5,000-mile trail is a pretty big deal.
Does the NCTA offer membership? Is there a membership aspect to the Trail Association as well?
Absolutely. We are a member and donor-based organization, so you can sign up to be a member. As part of your donation, you can either choose just to be an at-large member, or you get a chapter membership with that. So it's just, you know, we're all one organization, and for your donation of $40, you can be part of that great family.
Well, that sounds wonderful. I'll have to look more into that. Hopefully, I can try to get my 100 miles in this year, or at least try to get as many as possible.
Yeah.
But I appreciate, like I said, I appreciate your time today, and I'm excited to share this with listeners and for them to experience the North Country Trail, whether they're doing a mile or whether they're doing 1,000.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Andrea, for sharing so much great information with the listeners and for helping me learn more about the North Country Trail. I can't wait to actually be able to go visit the North Country Trail Association in person. And I'm still looking to get those 100 miles on the NCT. For more information about the North Country Trail Association, make sure you check the show notes. If you've been enjoying the content that I've been putting out over the past 3 seasons, I want you to let you know that this is a one-person labor of love, and your support means a lot to me. So please leave me a 5-star rating, and also, if you can take a moment and write a review, that will really help listeners understand what the show is about. So thank you for supporting the show, and if you're interested in learning more about helping me keep this content going, you can head over to my Patreon podcast page. Link is in the show notes. So until next time, see you on the trail.